Welcome back, WNST, Cass in Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are going to try to stay positive on all things Ravens here this week. All of our WNST coverage brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms, real fresh, real fast, the tasty chicken. It is coffee time. Maybe a little bit more for Justin Tucker out in the rain, kicking field goals and making them through. Luca, the Derrick Henry thing sort of awaits us. The Steelers await us over the hill, and obviously Nick Boyle and Ronnie Stanley are not coming back, but for the league itself and for COVID and for bubbles in January and all the things we're going to be talking about here, there's clearly like a race now. There's a playoff race, and it's really different than it was just adding one more team, right? Like it's who's number one, who's not, where you're going to have to go play, whether there'll be fans there when you get there. The league is different this year as I think we move into November.
No question. It's funny you mentioned the extra team in each conference. When you look at the tiebreakers, and I understand that we're finishing up week 10, the season does not end today because I know people get annoyed when people say that, but the Ravens would be the number 7 seed right now. So, you know, I didn't think that that would necessarily be something that you would expect the week before Thanksgiving based on what expectations were. But here they are with some of the injuries and people not expecting Pittsburgh to be 9-0. I mean, you know, they're that's why the league's so entertaining. And I even said this on Twitter in the second half of Sunday night's game when, I mean, the injuries and New England running the ball and everything that was going on in that game, the Ravens scored the touchdown to make it a one-score game. And I couldn't help but laugh a little bit because of their inability to stop the run, the injuries, the number of players and coaches who fans were clamoring for to be fired on Twitter. It was a one-score game, and it's not to excuse the Ravens. They played poorly, and they deserved to lose Sunday night's game. But it does remind you of what great theater this league is, and, you know, I want to be careful to describe the theater as great, understanding some of the circumstances, you know, as you mentioned with COVID and just the uncertainty that deals with it. But just, I mean, look at the AFC right now. Las Vegas, 6-3, as weird as that is to say that. Las Vegas, the Raiders. Miami, 6-3. The Ravens, 6-3. Cleveland, 6-3. Tennessee, 6-3, with the Titans having lost 3 of their last 4. And, you know, as much as I'm not buying New England having this major, major rebound, they just beat the Ravens, and most people, even going into week 10, thought, okay, if they're not Kansas City or Pittsburgh necessarily, but most people would have said the Ravens are at the very least the third best team in the AFC. So, you know, you have 10 teams in this conference that are playing interesting football. And, you know, even look at some of the teams at the very bottom, like, you know, the Chargers, for example, with Justin Herbert, they've lost a ton of games by one score. It's just been crazy to watch. So, you know, the football itself has been entertaining, and I did not expect it, but here we are a week before Thanksgiving and the Ravens are fighting for their playoff lives at 6-3. And look, I think there are some of the teams I just mentioned that are also 6-3 and hanging around. Nothing about Sunday changes my mind that the Ravens aren't superior to those teams on a week in and week out basis, but They're behind the eight ball now in terms of the division, in terms of any dreams remaining of being the number one seed. But with COVID, with stadiums having either no one like we saw in Foxborough on Sunday night or having a few thousand people, home field advantage isn't nearly as important now. Now that bears out.
Well, I think the weather would be more than anything else. Going to Buffalo and having to play, that would be more the issue. Maybe 10 below and windy. You know, the weather certainly Sunday night in Foxborough played up to its reputation, right?
Well, but I'd also say, and look, rain and heavy wind, I don't think favors anybody. But if you're talking about difficult elements, the Ravens are built Sunday night notwithstanding, they are built to endure that a little bit more. They certainly play like a cold weather team in terms of running the football and being more physical, even if we didn't see the physicality in the trenches on Sunday night. But you know, really, other than getting the number one seed, which at this point, I think football outsiders has the Ravens playoff odds as far as for the number one seed being somewhere in the neighborhood of 2.3%, 2.5%, something like that off the top of my head. So that's not happening, most likely, and barring some major collapses by Pittsburgh and Kansas City and the Ravens running the table. But get in. You know, don't be in the position where you're facing what you were a few years back with Tyler Boyd and all that nonsense. But, you know, just get in, and whether there's going to be a bubble, whether you're going on the road, you know, it's not going to be like going into a 70,000 seat stadium where there are fans screaming their heads off and giving you the finger coming off the butt. I mean, you know, you're just not going to have that this January. So just do what you can to improve the areas of the team that they are able to improve, and understanding that they're going to have some deficiencies that, look, you're not finding a replacement for Ronnie Stanley and Orlando Brown if you're talking left tackle and right tackle, those positions. You're not going to solve that now. I mean, you're just not. You're probably not going to find a tight end that blocks and does exactly what Nick Boyle does for you, and talking about how important he's been. And you know, we've talked about the cornerback depth, but you know, if you can improve some of those things, raise the bar on a few of those areas, this is still a team that I think I would not write off making a run, but certainly not having the same confidence level that we were talking about last November and December, that's for sure.
Well, and then you start to separate these other teams. I mean, what happened to Buffalo? They won the game, then they lost the game, right? That, and I said to my wife, like, you know, we're making dinner, we're making some steaks and some wine, we're home, and I'm not in Foxborough, and I'm watching it rain, and I'm happy that I'm home with my cat, and I'm watching the Red Zone and Scott Hansen's witching hour and all everything else going on. And Buffalo makes that play in the corner of the end zone, and Stephon Diggs and Peterson. I'm like, man, yeah, it's good football, right? And Bills are going to win. And I'm like, that's not good for us. I said to my wife, I'm like, we don't want the Bills to win. They're in the way. That's not good for us. And then I flip over to watch the Harbaugh interview at like 7:15 on Sunday night, and then I wind up missing the play. And I've seen the highlight and whatever, but I'm thinking, well, you know, something benefited the Ravens before the game even began, which is these other teams losing. The Steelers not amongst them, right? But to your point, you know, if you're going to go to the Super Bowl, you're going to have to go to Pittsburgh and win in January, right? Can we admit that if this team here is going to have to go to Pittsburgh, Buffalo, and Kansas City, or some combination thereof, in order to go to a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, you figure one of those venues, you know, one of those teams you're going to have to go through. And again, the venue, maybe that's not nearly as important. You know, most of these stadiums are having a few thousand people tops. So I think home field advantage in general is just not what we expected to be. You know, going into week 10, home teams were below 500 this year. It was very close to 500, but just shows you that it's, you know, this is just a different year in that way. But you're going to have to, take down, you would think, at least one, if not two, or maybe all three, as you mentioned. Who knows? I mean, you have to see how it all falls. And look, there are going to be injuries, and you know, any of these teams lose their quarterback. We're not going to tell you that last year. Look at what they were. You know, this is not a tremendous Ben Roethlisberger in 2020, but you saw what he is compared to what Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges weren't last year. And that's the difference between and even with that, Mike Tomlin did a phenomenal coaching job for them to even be in that territory. But you know, it's certainly going to be uphill for the Ravens. I think the saving grace is one, some of these other teams that are in that 6-3 territory. I'm sorry, I'm just not trusting yet. And people can say, well, Luke, I don't really trust the Ravens, and that's fine. I still trust the Ravens more than some of those other teams in that territory. And again, you look at the Ravens' schedule these next 2 weeks, it's going to be a bear, no question. And there's going to go 11-5 at best at that point. But if you can navigate the next 2 weeks and at the very least win one of them, December still sets up to have a really good month. I mean, what game in that final month of the season are you scared of? Could they go to Cleveland and lose? And do you give the Browns some credit? It's Monday night, and you know, maybe the weather's weird like it was in Foxborough. Sure, I could see it. Doesn't mean I'm predicting that. Doesn't mean I'm expecting the Ravens to lose that game. But, I mean, you look at that December slate of opponents, I think it sets up really nicely that the Ravens could go undefeated in December. And that's even acknowledging that I don't think they're as great as they were last year. So the next 2 weeks are critical. Again, you got to find a way to at least win one of the next two. And you'd love to win both, obviously. Don't know if that's going to happen, especially if you don't have Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams. You know, we'll see what their status looks like here as we get closer to the Tennessee game on Sunday. But, you know, it's what can they do to remedy and improve some of their issues right now? And it's going to be tough. You know, we talked about this a few weeks back when Ronnie Stanley goes down. Next man up sounds great, right? But as I always say to you, and we talked about this, especially in 2015, you get to a point in time where it's nothing more than a t-shirt slogan, because as much as you pride yourself on having a deep roster and having depth and finding some diamonds in the rough and drafting well on day three and finding a couple rookie free agents, at some point in time, the well runs dry. You know, if you lose, and, you know, if the Ravens lose another, you know, if they lose one of their top three corners, I'm guessing, you know, that secondary is going to be looking not nearly as impressive as it has over the last calendar year. The offensive line's not going to look as impressive as it did with Marshall Yanda and Ronnie Stanley. These aren't, you know, I'm not saying anything bold here. We're talking about players you pay a lot of money to. If it were easy to replace them, that totally takes away the argument of why you pay them in the first place. So they've got to figure out a way to improve certain areas of this football team while also acknowledging that other things, they're just going to have to try to make the best of it, because it's not going to be ideal, but wasn't ideal in 2012, wasn't ideal in 2000 with an offense that, you know, was from the dark ages. So, you know, very few championship teams are perfect. That's why the level of play that the Ravens reached last year was just so rare and so special. And that's why you just felt like they were going to win it all until Tennessee happened. This year, things have not been that, you know, that special. You haven't had that feeling of them being almost perfect in some ways, but that doesn't mean that they can't find a certain level and find some improvement in some of these areas to put themselves in position to make a January run. But I think it's stating the obvious, they have a lot of work to do if that's going to happen.
You know, this team, as much as Lamar's on the cover of the boxes and the offense, and they're putting up 40 and 50 last year with relative ease, and Lamar's taking the chin strap off in the fourth quarter, the whole deal. If they're going to be anything this year, if they're going to go 11-5 and be the 5 seed or whatever that's going to be, right, whatever their destiny is over the next few weeks, which is they better play better and they better look better and they better be better than this against Dallas, Jacksonville, the dregs that they're going to see, the Giants next month, so that they don't skip a beat in one of those games. Because if you start to count those games up, I mean, they're a maligned 6-3 team right now, Luke, right? So they're maligned at 6-3. You're going to give them Jacksonville, New York, and maybe you're giving them Cincinnati too, but you're going to push them to 9 or 10.
Dallas, yeah.
Right where they are, and whether they get to 10 or 11, or 12, and that would be, you know, they would have to, if they beat Tennessee this week, I think we could talk about 12. If they lose to Tennessee this week, you better talk about 9 or 10 about getting in at this point, especially on the short rest with the Steelers and what that represents and going up there. But this will be led by their defense, right? So there is no Nick Boyle. There is no Ronnie Stanley. Orlando Brown will be whatever he is, and whoever they figure out the right tackle situation, and they're going to struggle to some degree on that offensive line. We talked about the wide receivers. We've talked about all of that. Let's talk about them winning now, right? Like, if they're going to win, it's going to be because Patrick Queen plays better than he did the other day. If they're going to win, it's going to be because Brandon Williams and Calais Campbell get back. If they're going to win, it's going to be because the secondary is going to get back to full health to some degree. So as much as you talk about, yeah, they're one away from this and next man up and all of that, all right, Wink Martindale's going to put the group together this week and try to figure out stopping Derrick Henry, which they had trouble doing 8 months ago. And if they start to pick this up, to me, it will be led by their defense doing what we thought they were going to do on Sunday night, which was, how the hell are the Patriots going to score a touchdown against this group? If we get back to that sort of mindset 11-5 and going to Buffalo and taking your lunch pail the second week of January on a 12-degree day and scuffling out a 17-13 win, you know, I'll hear that. But we got to stop thinking about this thing as the offensive juggernaut. That ain't the profile, man, and that's not going to be the profile. The profile is going to be they're going to play defense, make you punt, take the ball away, sack your quarterback, get you off the field, and give the ball back to Lamar. And I know there was a lot of that going on amidst all of the offensive fireworks last year, you know, but that better be who they are because the offense isn't going to save this team.
Can the offense be better than it's been? Sure. I mean, they're still running the ball at a very high level. You know, you look at their numbers, they've been a top rushing attack all year. Has it been the 2019 record-setting version where they're rushing for more yards than anyone had in, what, 40 years, whatever it ended up being, the 78 Patriots, I think it was. And I wrote this at BaltimorePositive.com last week. When, as much as we've talked about the offense and waiting for the 2019-like awakening, the defense has led the way this year. I mean, even, you know, disappointment of Sunday night aside, they came into Foxborough with the number one scoring defense in the NFL. You know, that defense has played at a very high level. And yeah, you can point to Kansas City, or you could point to the fourth quarter of the Eagles game, or the fact that Pittsburgh was able to put together, you know, I mean, they're not going to shut teams out every week. And I mean, Kansas City's made a lot of good defenses look bad. They made San Francisco look bad in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl last February. But yeah, I mean, you have to look at it even just from an injury standpoint at this point. And, you know, talent deficiencies at wide receiver, or, you know, not having enough go-to pass catchers. Obviously, the offensive line, which we've talked about a lot. And, you know, Lamar still doing a lot of special things and still being a really good quarterback, but not playing at an MVP level. Yeah, you're going to be leaning on your defense. And, you know, the saving grace, you hope, is that some of the guys that are banged up right now will come back, and you'll have a at full strength defensive line, and the depth in the secondary is shaky as it can be, but you still have your top three corners. You still have your starting safeties. So, you know, all is not lost in that way. But yeah, if they're going to, you know, the easiest path to envision this team doing what they want to do ultimately, and that's still getting to and winning a Super Bowl, it's going to be their defense leading the way. And it's going to be the offense playing better, but yeah, the expectation of finding that record-setting level that they had last year. And I talked about this, you know, I've used the comparison of, you know, Ted Williams hit 406 in 1941. The fact that he didn't hit 400 again in his career, did that mean he regressed and was an inferior player? I mean, you know, on a very superficial level, I guess you could say, yeah, but no, that's silly. You know, and look, to be clear, I'm not saying the Ravens offense is Ted Williams, but my point is when you reach that near impossible standard from a statistical standpoint, it's almost inevitable. If you look at the offenses of the last 20 years, you know, I've used Kansas City last year as a great example of that. They had some pretty substantial offensive drop-off last year compared to 2018 when Mahomes won MVP. But they weathered the storm. They had injuries. Remember, Mahomes had the game against Denver where his kneecap pops out of place and everyone's thinking, oh, my gosh, the Chiefs are done. And, you know, he wasn't phenomenal for a while there, but they hit their stride at the end of the season, and then you know what happened in January. The rest was history for the Chiefs. So is there a path for the Ravens to do something along those lines? Sure. Again, 2000 and 2012, these were not teams that we looked at as everything being peachy over the course of the regular season. But to your point, and I agree, if there is a path for the Ravens, it's going to be the defense being dominant and
well, they are going to be on the road. We know that much, right?
They have played dominant football.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but again,
if they're going to win a game that matters in January, so to get to the next game in January, it's going to be a slobber knocker where Brandon Williams and Calais Campbell are a big part of that. So is Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters as well.
Sure, sure. But that's where I keep coming back to. And look, I'm not picking on you here because I'm just as guilty of it. The whole home road thing and home field advantage thing at this point, like, I don't even know what it even means at this point.
Right, sure.
I mean, The Ravens, their two biggest home – look at the Ravens, who have one of the great home field advantages in the NFL the last two decades. Their two biggest home games of the year, they laid an egg against Kansas City, and Lamar Jackson turns the ball over four times against Pittsburgh. Home field advantage, City meant nothing. So, you know, from that standpoint, maybe you take a little more comfort, maybe a little more satisfaction is not the right word, but you take a little more consolation with maybe because their home field advantage isn't as much of a factor. If you're not going to be the number one seed getting the bye, then does it really matter as much if you're, you know, 2 or 5, 6 or 7? I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, again, it'll come down to matchups, and, you know, certain teams the Ravens will match up really good with, and other teams they won't match up so well with. We know Kansas City's a team they haven't matched up well with the last couple of years. So we'll just see how that plays out. But agreeing with your overall point that if they are going to find their stride and hit that kind of magical run, yeah, the offense will have to play better, but they're 6-3 because of their defense this year and because they knew New England was going to run the football against them. But this is a team that still has a defense playing at a really high level. And I'm guessing if they're going to finish 12-4, let's say, it's going to be because of their defense continuing to play at a really high level. And, you know, we'll see what the offense can do. We know they can run the ball really well still, but they've got to figure out a way to do more to really have that confidence that they're going to be able to make a run deep into January.
He is Luke Jones. So he can be found at Baltimore Luke or out on the backfields in Owings Mills with a mask on and trying to stay 6.5 feet away from everybody and everything up there in Pennsylvania. We're going to get together a couple times here this week and talk some more football. I got a lot of Tennessee Titans stuff coming in here. Jim Wyatt's going to be joining us, Blaine Bishop, former Aller, John Glennon, and Paul Kaharski, Teresa Walker. Mike Flynn's going to be joining us, the main event from Massachusetts in the aftermath of the monsoon up there. Also, Torrey Smith with a new endeavor this week. Vicky Brick will be here this week. And all sorts of delegates and senators, Ben Cardin, and Chris Van Hollen dropped by our Baltimore Positive set, along with former Baltimore County Executive Don Moses. We get a lot of things going on. We have merged the streams at WNST.net all to platform in the one place at BaltimorePositive.com. On behalf of all of our incredible sponsors, including our friends at Taharka, we're going to be shipping some ice cream out during the holidays at a deep, deep discount. If you love Taharka ice cream, we're going to tell you how you can do it, and I'm going to incent some folks. There's even a rumor that they want me to pick a flavor in the spring. So I'll be telling some stories. Probably be peach-related if I'm going to do anything right. Probably peach cake-related. But I'm looking forward to it. We're trying to have some fun around here amidst the plague and the pandemic and unrest politically in our country, and certainly unrest offensively and defensively with our football team in the monsoon up in New England. Hate losing to the Patriots, especially when I thought we were going to win. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.